1 Corinthians 13. And we come this evening to verse 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Again, this evening we are confronted through the Scriptures with characteristics of love. We have already covered several in verses 4 and 5, and we move on in the text to verse 6 to talk about another important characteristic which reveals the presence of love within the hearts of individuals like you and me. And of course, you understand, don't you, as we have looked into 1 Corinthians 13, that love reveals the presence of God. God is love. And so without the characteristics of love being present within our lives, we have no confidence concerning the presence of God within our lives. Without the character of love within you, you are without love. And you are without God. It's that way with me too. And so verse 6 gives us important marks of love. Marks that should set us off from the rest of the world. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. First question we need to answer here is, what is this unrighteousness that Paul is talking about in conjunction with love? That's how the word is translated in the New American Standard Version. In the King James Version, it's translated iniquity, and in the New International Version, simply evil. And so what is this unrighteousness or iniquity or evil? Well, let's look at some other scriptures. This is how we find out. Romans chapter 7. It's one of my favorite texts in Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. The same word is used here as is used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:6. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. How do we understand righteousness? Well, we are driven back to God's moral law, which is summarized in the Ten Commandments. Time and time again, this is where we have to go. The law, Paul says, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And so we are driven back to that position. What therefore is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness is that which is contrary to God's commandments. Let's be concrete about this. Let's get it down where it means something. Violations of God's commandments. And this is how we define sin. Sin is lawlessness, the Apostle John tells us. Or as the King James Version puts it, sin is the violation of the law. So what we're talking about when we talk about unrighteousness is we're talking about sin. We're talking about violations of God's commandments, plain and simple. And I really believe this gets it down to a level where we can deal with what Paul has to say. It's more specific if you turn back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle John is quite specific here when he says, and again, this is the New American Standard Version, all unrighteousness is sin. Well, there we have it. Clear cut in our definition. No question about it. And because this unrighteousness that we're talking about is sin, it leads to judgment. I want you to see this. Turn with me now, if you would, to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. These are all references now where the same word that we're dealing with in 1 Corinthians 13:6 is used. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in or by unrighteousness. What brings upon judgment? Unrighteousness. Now, to me, this is very interesting because Paul is talking about present judgment. Paul is not talking here about future judgment. Paul is talking about the present. For the wrath of God is revealed, Paul says, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You know, in the Bible, one of the things which God utilized to bring about judgment was war. And we see this time and time again in the Old Testament. Why was Israel brought to war with the Philistines? Why was Israel caused to break out in war against the Syrians? Judgment. Judgment upon Israel on one hand, judgment against the heathen nations on the other hand. I've asked this question more than once. Why was the United States of America sucked into a war in Southeast Asia, where thousands of men lost their lives? Was God trying to say something to this country? I, for one, believe that He was, and I fear that we didn't pay attention. And that's sad. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Not only this unrighteousness, which is sin, not only brings about judgment in the present life, but brings about final judgment too. I'd like you to look at the Gospel according to Luke again. This time, chapter 13. Again, we find reference to this very same word that we're dealing with, Luke chapter 13, verses 22 and following. Verses 22 and following. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evil doers. There's our word. All those who work unrighteousness is the literal translation. See, there is the final judgment. Iniquity, I guess the King James Version says there. You see, what we're talking about here is something that brings upon final separation from Almighty God. Verse 28 in Luke 13 says, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth there when you see Abraham and Isaac and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being cast out. That's an awesome thing, isn't it?
it truly is.
But you see what Paul says now. What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 is that love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. And what this tells us, in essence, I believe, is how far we are from God. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Here is a measure of our distance from God. Now, a way to point this out, I think, is in Romans chapter 1. If you turn there with me, there are a couple of things for us to see in Romans chapter 1. Here are some people who are far from God. And it's a tragedy. It really is. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 31. And of course, you recognize the context here, I think. Romans 1:28, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful." What a list. What a list. And of course, it's headed by that word, unrighteousness, again. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love does not rejoice in evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Look at verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. Here are people who are steeped in sin, and what do? They delight in the fact that others are in sin. They rejoice in unrighteousness, you see. That's the whole point. It's really interesting to me as we read about the homosexual community today that this is exactly what's taking place. And it's frightening. It really is. It's frightening. Turn back in Romans chapter 1 to verses 26 and 27, where Paul talks about this. He says, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." Now, this is a horrible situation. This is a terrible situation. This is what's going on in many cities in our country. It was really amazing to me and shocking to me that Edna Gershner said when she was here, "You know, Northampton, where Jonathan Edwards preached, and he was rejected, is the lesbian capital of America." She said, "I don't know exactly what the connection is there, but it's interesting for us to note. And it's also horrifying. And this is a creeping thing across our land. It really is." Here's another interesting little thing, talking about rejoicing in iniquity. In a bid to increase its influence A homosexual activist group has joined in an unholy alliance with abortion activists. This group says it will protect abortion clinics from Operation Rescue blockades in exchange for feminist support of its terrorist activities against churches. Now, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I really think this is a manifestation of rejoicing in iniquity, in unrighteousness. Here's this other group over there saying, well, let's join hands in iniquity so we can bring down churches, so we can be an effective force against Christians. And they're happy to do it. Believe me, they are very happy to do it. But love, and those filled with love, do not rejoice in unrighteousness. To help us get the picture there a little more firmly, I'd like you to turn now to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. The very end of, almost the very end of the book of 1 Corinthians, verses 17 and 18. Here we have a little bit about this word rejoice. You see, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Well, what does this mean? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 17, or 16, 17, "And I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men." I really think this is a beautiful picture. Here Paul is talking about these friends of his. And he rejoices over them. And what does this joy bring? Look at what verse 18 says. "For they have refreshed my spirit." I trust that this is exactly what Bob and Christine are going to experience this week. I trust this is what the Hutchinsons experienced last week when Marjorie celebrated her 80th birthday. It's a real joy to have family around, isn't it? It really is. And what does it do? It brings refreshment. It's really a nice thing. It's refreshing to the soul. It brings delight, you see. And that's a great thing. And the wonderful thing that we see here is families who find refreshment, find delight, find joy within their families, within those relationships which God has established. It's quite different, however, with those who are not filled with the love of God. What happens among those who are not filled with the love of God? I'll tell you what happens. They find their joy, they find their refreshment in unrighteousness, in evil deeds. They delight in unrighteousness. I think this is what Paul is talking about. You know, it is really too bad that the entertainment industry in America is by and large filled with unrighteousness. I wonder, I'm asking myself the same question I'm asking you. How much refreshment do you seek from an entertainment industry that is filled with unrighteousness? How much do you? To my shame, I find too much.
wasn't too long ago that we were sitting and watching a Star Trek movie on television, and Irma says to me, "I trust you'll remember this. How can you put up with that? Use of God's name in vain." And to my shame, I didn't even recognize it. I didn't even hear it. I have to ask myself the question, am I so hard that I don't even recognize unrighteousness when it is blatant? Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. I know, this is some hard stuff. Let me put it in another way that I think is very pointed. You all know about this fellow Michael Jordan, don't you? You young people know about Michael Jordan. He is a great hero in America. And we take great delight in him. You know, it wasn't too long ago that I saw an interview on television where his mistress was being interviewed, and the reporter was asking the question, "Are you guys going to get married? This is our hero, who is an adulterer. Do we rejoice in unrighteousness?" You know, it's really a shame that this is the case. But it's true, you see. You don't like it. But there it is. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. This is why I say this text tells us, it tells me how close, how far I am from God. Well, let's look at the other side of the coin. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It's interesting that the New American Standard Version puts it the way it does. Rejoices with the truth. And that's how it ought to be. That's the literal translation. The King James Version says in the truth, and so does the New International Version. It says in the truth. That's not the better translation. The better translation is to rejoice with the truth. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 15, which we read a little bit earlier, because we find there the very same word that Paul is using, rejoice with. And I think this shows us an interesting picture. I really do. Interesting picture. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, 3 through 10. Here are these parables again. Okay? And he told them this parable. Luke 15, 3. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. There it is, you see. Love rejoices with the truth. It's almost as if in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul personifies the truth, and that truth has some joy in itself. In and of itself, it has joy. And I think that's true. So that there is a rejoicing with the truth. There is some kind of connection between us and the truth, so we are rejoicing together. That's what the implications of Luke 15 are. Again, in verses 8 and 9. Or what woman, If she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it, and when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me." Same word. Love does not rejoice with, or love does rejoice with, the truth. Again, it's almost as if Paul is personifying the truth. And there is a joy there in the truth, and we are rejoicing with the truth. That's the emphasis that the text brings us. Now, if we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, I think this is exactly the kind of thing Paul has in mind here. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. First of all, who is the truth? Jesus Christ, right? Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." If there is a personification of truth, it is Jesus Christ. Now, this is interesting. Because if there is an inference here with regards to Jesus Christ, what are we brought to as Christians? As Christians, we are brought together with Jesus Christ and we rejoice with Him. His joy is brought to us. And Jesus is very specific. One of the reasons He comes is that we may partake of His joy and His joy may be made complete in us. This is terrific. Love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with Jesus Christ. Love rejoices with the things that Jesus Christ rejoices in. Now that brings it home a little bit. If we really begin to rejoice in the things that Jesus Christ rejoices in, our lives are going to be different. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love rejoices in what? The things that Jesus Christ loves. What are those things? The things that follow God's commandments. That's simple, isn't it? That's the opposite of unrighteousness. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at by His Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. This can be an exciting thing for us. It really can. I want you to go back now to Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 and 9. In Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verses 8 and 9. Here the Apostle Paul talks about love again. And he puts it directly in the context of God's moral law. Romans, Romans 13, verses 8 and 9, and also 10. We really need that. "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law." As I said to the folks in the college class this morning, this word in verse 9, summed up, is terrific. Because what it means is that when you take all the Ten Commandments and you add them up, what you get is love. That's what Paul's saying. You sum them up, that's what the word means. You add them all up, one by one, and what you get is love. And so when we rejoice
You see, in those commandments, in doing what God requests of us, when we love that, and of course, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to love those things, are we not? We're going to love the truth of those commandments, why we sing of that in the Psalms. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation both day and night. That should be our lifeblood. It really should. When we rejoice in those things, when we're full of the love of God, what happens? Jesus rejoices, does He not? And we are rejoicing together with Him. Love rejoices with the truth. For me, that really brings the text together. It really does. And so, folks, we have a great challenge before us. In 1 Corinthians 13:6. To take pleasure, hear me on this, to take pleasure in and rejoice in unrighteousness is to be without God. Where do we stand? This can be pretty subtle. But I think that's what the Scriptures are teaching us. On the other hand, to rejoice with the truth is to be with God. You see, these characteristics tell us where we are with the Lord our God. But we need to take them seriously. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that You would work Your love in my heart and in the heart of each one of us here tonight, so that in a very real way, every one of us here tonight, young or old, would be filled with that love and not rejoice in unrighteousness. Pull us up short when we do that, Lord, and call to remembrance this text. But on the other hand, Father, by Your Holy Spirit at work within us, cause us to rejoice with the truth. May that be a great manifestation of the presence of Your love within our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.